97.5 The Fanatic.
A little while ago on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, he's the great scribe from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Marcus Hayes. Hello, Marcus. How are you today, man?
Good, Joe. How you doing, man?
I am tremendous. I'm enjoying this 9-game winning streak. You had an article the other day regarding the Washington game, and I love the article. I love what you said about Alain Vigneault and how you described his pregame attitude and his mannerisms and whatnot. Same with postgame. You said that was the biggest game of the year. Why did you call that the biggest game of the year?
Well, they had a chance to close within one and put themselves in position to get a share of the Metropolitan Division lead. They did it, and they did it with, you know, authority in Washington. And, I mean, there haven't been a lot of games like that. There have been some games in retrospect that were big games, including a Washington game on January 8th, where they beat the Capitals and started their current, their current string of, I think, 17-5-1 or something like that. But yeah, this was a big moment, and the first big moment under Alain Vigneault, and he gave us a glimpse of how he's going to handle big moments. He's going to embrace them. He's going to acknowledge them. He's going to coach the players to be big in big moments and to, you know, bring their A game, and that's what they did. I'm a firm believer of this is not just another game. You know, you can't play every game with your A game. You have to be able to ratchet it up and draw it back and still be proficient over 82 games or 162 games. 16 games is a different story in football. But yeah, if you're playing 82 in the winter or 162 in the summer, you have to be able to sort of modulate.
You mentioned Alain Vigneault and what he did to get his team up for a big game and acknowledge that it was a big game. What does he actually do from a coaching standpoint to get his team ready to play in big moments?
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't do anything except say, listen, this is where you earn the big money. This is why we're here. This is why we're relevant. This is why we're constructed this way, to play big tonight. So there's no skate today. We're going to take it easy. I think they have three and four days. This is our plan. And that's another thing Alain Vigneault does. He lets you know what the plan is, what's expected of you, man to man, person to person. And he's consistent that way. His practices are structured. They're very, very short, but they're also very intense. And you get the itinerary before you go in, so you know what's expected of you, and you know how bad's going to be and how good's going to be. So that's what he does. He's very upfront about it, and I believe that that's the proper way to coach.
He does limit their practice at times and gives them the proper time off, and they seem to be in better physical shape than they have been in the past. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's kind of a tricky balance. How much you practice, the type of practices you have, and how much rest you're given. So at the beginning of the season and in training camp, it was pretty grueling. But as the season, as the preseason began and the season began, he asked them to show up, practice very intensely for shorter periods of time, and rest them comprehensively and frequently, and monitor each guy. You know, they all wear GPS tracking devices, and they have for years. But he was an early adopter in Vancouver when he was out there, and he carried that with him to the Rangers, and the Flyers had that in when he got.
Oh, you there, Marcus?
I am.
Gotcha. You dropped out for the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, he was an early adapter to GPS tracking, so he monitors each player individually, and if you need a day, he'll give you a day. If you need to be drawn back a little bit, he'll draw you back a little bit. But he was an early adapter in Vancouver and then in New York with the Rangers, where he was last. And that infrastructure was set up by Ron Hextall. Ron Hextall, a lot to sort of put a foundation of sports science and analytics in the Flyers. And it suits Alain Vigneault, who believes in that stuff and has for more than 15 years.
Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Marcus, what does this coach do that Dave Hextall didn't, and how was he able to turn this around to make such a big difference in 1 year?
Well, this coach has Kevin Hayes, for one thing.
Yeah, that helps.
Dave Haxtell didn't. This coach has Carter Hart. And Dave Haxtell had Carter Hart, what, just very briefly.
31 games.
So that's one big difference. He has better players, number one. Number two, he believes in using all of his line. It's at least at this point. He was criticized for shortening his bench with New York, but he believes in using all of his lines if all of his lines warrant use. So, you know, Kevin Hayes and Scott Lawton and Travis Konecny are as valuable in his eyes as Sean Couturier, Claude Giroux, and Jay Voracek, who's having a spectacular season. But, you know, so are the lines as they get deeper, especially when you add guys like Grant and Thompson and give them immediate responsive, real minutes and immediate responsibility, and you use all six defensemen if Ivan Provorov will ever come off the ice.
They play Boston and Tampa this week, the top two teams in the Atlantic, top two teams in the Eastern Conference. How much stock do you put into this week in terms of how they perform against these two teams? Because I still believe the postseason's a different animal than the regular season, so I wouldn't get too high or too low either way. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. The mystique of Tampa, even after their crash and burn last year, it's fascinating to me how that mystique still exists. I mean, Boston's a much more dangerous team for me, but they've beaten Boston, you know, since that January 8th streak began. So, yeah, these are real things. So, yeah, it's interesting and it's relevant.
How many players are they away from being a serious contender, or do you deem them a serious contender right now?
I deemed them a serious contender 2 weeks ago in Washington when they beat the Capitals 7-2. They've done nothing. I mean, they've done nothing to prove me wrong so far.
Sure.
But they're a real team, and let's not forget, you know, they won last night, losing James Van Riemsdyk in Washington. They won in Washington, and they're on this 9-game winning streak without Nolan Patrick, who was supposed to be their second or third line center. So they're not operating on all cylinders. And Carter Hart was hurt for a while. This is a real team. This is a good team. You know, I mean, it begins with Provorov and goes through Couturier, but this is a real team. It's deep and it's disciplined and it's well coached.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, let's turn our attention to something less positive. The 76ers last night dropped the game to Golden State that they had in the bag. 1-3 on the road trip. I know they don't have three of those starters playing, but how devastating a loss was that last night, or was it not a devastating loss?
No, you're missing, number one, you had no depth. Number two, you're missing 60% of your starters. These games are utterly meaningless. They're excellent chances for players like Shake Milton and Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks to get playing time, but they're not indicators of who this team will be when Ben Simmons and when Joel Embiid come back. You know, if this wasn't Brett Brown, if this was a second year coach who didn't have scar tissue with a lot of people, last night's loss would be, well, you know, they're missing 60% of their starters, and who knows and who knew what they had after that starting lineup to begin with. All this hand-wringing over Brett Brown's, you know, decisions or lack of decisions or not calling timeouts or calling timeouts, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're missing their better players. And if you think that this indicates how good or bad the Sixers are, this loss in Golden State, you know, I think it's four games in 6 days, on the West Coast, you know, and the first two were against the two best teams in basketball. If you think that this is relevant, then, you know, you just want to have something to complain about.
Let's just say that they get healthy. Joel Embiid might come back Wednesday night against Cleveland. We have no idea about Ben Simmons, but let's just say they both get healthy. Josh Richardson gets his head right, and they finish out the regular season. Let's say where they are, sixth place. How far can this team go the way it's constructed, if healthy?
They can go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, if they get some shooting, if they play this sort of team defense, and if Al Horford gets his head straight, they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not sure that making it there saves Brett Brown's job, but not making it there will certainly cost Brett Brown his job.
Sure. I said they have to get to the finals. What do you think it takes for him to keep his job? How far?
They have to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and, you know, play well once they get there. You know, it would be very difficult to fire Brett Brown considering the depth and number of injuries that they've had, and, you know, after he's, you know, done better. You know what I'm saying? After he's improved. And so that said, you know, anything could happen at the NBA. I mean, Kenny Atkinson got fired yesterday. And so, you know, who knows? It's kind of a mess.
It is a mess. They are a mess right now. And they are 10-25 on the road. They're stellar at home, 28-2. It's just a dichotomous team, but they play Wednesday night at home, playing the Pistons. I want to throw in an Eagles question before I let you go, bro. Maybe a follow-up as well. Draft is coming up. Free agency's coming up. They have that kid in Ekwe from Jacksonville. Byron Jones is out there in terms of free agency. The draft, who do they target in the draft? Do they move up? What do you think is going to happen in the next few weeks?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't see them spending $17 million a year on a cornerback.
Right.
I think they're scared of that. But you have a coach and a general manager who are going to get fired if they don't produce this year. It's just that simple.
Let me just make sure I heard that right. If they don't produce this year, both are gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay, I've been saying he's on the hot seat, so to speak, how he is, and I've gotten a lot of flack for that.
Oh, yeah. You can't have 2 9-win seasons after winning the Super Bowl and, you know, argue that you should be retained. I mean, it's just, and the mistakes that he has made, especially this season, independent of Joe Douglas, are, you know, he could be fired tomorrow. You know, I'm the guy who fired him the year before they went to the Super Bowl, and after that season, 2016 season, I said he should be fired, and I got a lot of grief from it, obviously, when they went to the Super Bowl, but that was the year of Joe Douglas, and he had 2 years of Joe Douglas, 3 years of Joe Douglas, and, you know, now there's no Joe Douglas. And there was no Joe Douglas during the regular season this season. And you saw the collapse. You saw the mayhem. So, yeah, to argue that Howie shouldn't be fired because he, you know, he happened to get a first-round pick back because Sam Bradford was traded to Minnesota because Teddy Bridgewater's knee was shredded, which was, you know, the real cost of the Carson Wentz trade. And to argue that, well, he won a Super Bowl, well, I think you're seeing that he was coincidental to them winning the Super Bowl when it comes to personnel decisions. So, I can't see him making personnel decisions past this coming season if this coming season is like an 11-12 run at the NFC Championship.
The two glaring holes on this team, wide receiver and cornerback, they're sitting at 21. The top three wide receivers will probably be gone by then. First of all, who are they? What position are they targeting, do you think, in the first round, and do they need to move up to land who they need?
You cannot target a position in the first round of the draft.
Say that one more time, bud.
You cannot target a position in the first round of the draft. You just can't.
You take the best player available.
You just take the best player. You target a position, you're going to wind up with draft picks, you know, like Derek Barnett. I mean, Derek Barnett has not been a very fruitful, productive, you know, but they needed that position. And that's one thing Howie consistently does. You know, they target a position. Like Andre Dillard last year was a good value. You know, that's Joe Douglas' parting gift. Joe Douglas is an offensive lineman. He believes in offensive line depth. They drafted Andre Dillard, and that's why you can move on from Jason Peters. But you cannot target a position in the you just can't do it. There's too many holes to be filled. You can target a position in free agency because you know what you're getting. It's like going to the supermarket. You know what you're buying, but you can't farm a position. You can't, plant this and hope it grows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I totally know what you're saying. All right, I got to.
So if there's a linebacker or a running back or a, defensive end or defensive tackle that you think is clearly more valuable than anybody you could even move up to get. That's the other thing. I'm not a huge fan of moving up to get guys who've never played it down in the NFL.
Right.
Who aren't quarterbacks. Quarterback is probably easier to divine because the positions are so similar in college and the pros now, but any other position, it's a huge, huge step for to do that, except running back, but you don't take running backs in the first round either, and you certainly don't move up to take them.
Real quick, because you mentioned running backs, is Jordan Howard here next year?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think they're willing to spend the money that he deserves, frankly. I mean, he's a pretty good running back.
Yeah, real good
running back. And I don't think he wants to come back on a show-me deal when Miles Sanders is, Miles Sanders is arguably the best offensive player they have right now.
Yeah.
That includes Carson Wentz and Lane Johnson and, Brandon Brooks. So, I'm not sure if you're Jordan, you want to come back to, the new shitty. If you're Jordan, I don't know if you want to come back and compete with Miles Sanders, who's the new LeSean McCoy. It's not a good spot to be a guy who believes that you got a lot of rubber left on the tire. And it's not a very good team. It's not like he's coming back with a real shot to go to the Super Bowl. He's coming back as a piece of a team that is very flawed and should make the playoffs. So, he's at a position in his career where he's got to get as many years for as much money as possible because there might not be another contract.
Fantastic stuff, Marcus. Marcus Hayes from the on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You are at Ink Stained Wretch. Is that correct?
No W. Ink Stained Wretch. No W's in my life.
You can follow him on Twitter there. Hey, buddy, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a lot. Loved your article, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
You too. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.